If you will, we're going to turn together in our scriptures, and the message this morning is, I forgot what I put up there. Yeah, do I really need Jesus? I had two or three different titles that I had given it, and I wasn't sure which one I had written down on the overhead here. Do I really need Jesus? The question that comes to mind by many is, I know God, I follow God, do I need Jesus? Why do you say I need Jesus? I'd like for you to look with me in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Matthew 11, 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I want to make this real simple, clean, and neat. The reason we need Jesus is because God gave all authority to Jesus. Period, exclamation point, it's over. I don't really need to preach it. But that's it. All authority has been given Jesus. I want to read some more scripture with you. John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. John 13, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given Him all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, knelt down and washed the apostles' feet. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, God raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, for all above all rule and all authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. John 17, 2. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all who you have given him. And then in Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus said unto them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, why should we follow Jesus? Because all authority has been given him. What authority? Authority to save us from our sins, to deliver us from disaster. He's given us, Jesus, the authority to reach down and to deliver man. Second, authority to cleanse, to make us whole, to purify our hearts. Third, authority to heal, to take sickness and make it whole. Fourth, authority to forgive. Five, authority to build God's righteous kingdom, to say what is and what is not the kingdom. The authority with truth was given God to Jesus. Seventh, the authority over men's hearts, and ate, all authority, Jesus said, was given unto him. Jesus' whole ministry was showing the world that he had received the authority of God completely. Not only was it complete, it was only given to him. Muhammad was not given the authority of God. Buddha was not given the authority of God. The Hindu gods were not given the authority of God. Only in Jesus. So when people tell me, well, all religions are basically the same. We're all pointing to the same God. No, we're not. Because God relinquished his authority to Jesus and all other faith to go try to go to God without Jesus. There's difference there. And so I want us to look. Number one, we see the extent of the authorized rule of the Son of God first in his act as the creator of all things. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the person who made the heaven and earth and everything in them. Most Christians, if you were really to ask them and have a questionnaire, they believe Jesus came along later. No, Jesus was from the beginning. He was the author, the finisher of all things. And let me tell you something. If I want some answers if I have needs to get my cell phone fixed, I don't go down to the local barber shop and ask somebody to fix it. I really would rather not go to a local tech person. I'm going to send my cell phone back to the ones who made it. And I know parts are made in different places and all that. But I want it to go back to the factory where they assemble it, where they put it together, and I want them to redo it. Why is it important to come to Jesus? Because he's the one that created everything. And if he created everything, he knows how it works. He can put it back together right. Second, we see the extent of his authorized rules. Secondly, in his sustaining the world, holding it in being by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And then Colossians 1:17. He is before all things. In him all things are held together. All of the electrons and everywhere in this universe maintain their path, their speed, by the will of Jesus Christ. All the motion of all immaterial as well as material souls of men and the angels are held in being by Christ. Without his willing, all the material world and all the spiritual world would cease to be. He initiates, sustains, and gives the operation to the very genes in our body. He knows when cancerous cells are being formed, and he knows how to deliver us. He has a sovereignty over every one of them. Every cell in your body is under the authority of Jesus Christ. He knows and sustains us and gives us the years to live that he does, and nothing can thwart that or his intents. No one can take away the years of your life that he has intended for you. You can trust him with the days we are supposed to live, and in him all things are held together for our benefit. I was in the airplane, and we were going through some rough stuff. And as I was sitting there, I felt my wife's grip on me getting stronger and stronger. She does that. She about cuts the blood off to my hand. And one time she looked at me and she says, you're not concerned. I said, I guess I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. If we're going down, we're going down. It's my time anyway. It's good. Some of you know I have died and they brought me back. All these years are bonus years for me. You know, once you've died and they bring you back, it's like, whoa, every minute's a bonus. And some of you seated here this morning don't realize you're in the bonus years too. Because whether you know it or not, God delivered you from something that would have caused your death, and you don't even know it. You'll find it out when you get to heaven. That's what I told this girl in the Uber that was driving the Uber. I said, she said, he was delivered. He could have been there when his father committed suicide. I looked at her and I said, you know, Justin doesn't realize God has delivered him several times. She said, he keeps saying, how could I believe in a loving God who allows terrible things to happen? I said, he doesn't know how many times God has delivered him. How many times America has been delivered from disaster. We don't even know. The Reverend John G. Patton, a pioneer missionary in the New Hebrides Islands in the Pacific, told this story, and it was repeated by Billy Graham several times in his messages, and it's in one of his books. I heard it on the radio coming back Friday, and I had to look it up when I got home, but one evening, the local tribes of Indians came, and they were coming against him. They were painted in their particular style of war paint and had on their war dress, so he knew they were coming after him. They went into a closet and began to pray, he, his wife, and child, and they lifted up their lives and said, God, if it's time, it's time, but Lord, if you can deliver us, deliver us. Take all authority over this whole situation. Jesus, we give you our lives. Soon, the noise quieted. And the missionary went and looked out the front door, and there was no one there. They were gone. He remained there another year in ministry, and finally, the chief of that tribe came to Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus Christ. And when he did, he was baptized in front of the whole tribe, and many of the tribe, because of the chief, came to accept Jesus Christ. And Reverend Patton looked at the chief and said, you're on our side now. Tell me what happened 1 year ago when you were coming outside my house. Were you coming to destroy me? He said, yes. We were a war tribe. We were going to destroy you and burn down your house. He said, why did you stop? He said, all your guards. He said, what guards? He said, you had hundreds of men surrounding your place here, and they all had white robes on. He said, that wasn't guards, that was angels. God had taken angels and surrounded the house, and the Native Americans of that natives of that area were amazed. They had never seen anything like that. It scared them, and they ran. I want you to know that when God has set the time on your life, and He has given you whatever He's given you, there is nothing can take it away. He has authority over your life. No one can come against you that God does not allow. There's a reason if they do. Number three, we see the extent of the authorized rule not only in sustaining the natural world, but of governing all of nature. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Mark 4:39. He said to the waves and winds, be still, peace be still, and the waves stopped. From the smallest bird to the most amazing and massive tsunami, Christ has authority. Why do you worry? Why do you fret? It's in God's hands. Luke 8:25. Who then is this, the apostles cried, that he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him? The disciples saw, as all people saw, that this man was taking authority unto himself. Do you know why Jesus was crucified? Not because he was a good man, as I said in a previous message, not because he was a Mr. Rogers, but because Jesus took authority that they believe he did not, should not have, no man should have. My daughter, Mary Catherine, I told you about this a couple of years ago, was in Mississippi. She likes to jump around. They're in Connecticut now, and I'm going to tell you about my Connecticut trip in a minute. But she was in Mississippi, and she was here and going back, and I began to pray because there it was during this time of year, and there were tremendous thunderstorms, and there was a line of them. Coming across the Midwest with tornadoes in it. And they were warning tornadoes everywhere, down through Mississippi and Alabama, and she's going right into it. And I prayed, Lord, you have authority over the winds and the waves. You cause the waves to be still. I pray and ask in the name of Jesus that you take authority over this storm. And wherever that car goes, open up a path. And I watched where she was, because she kept, we had a GPS on her. We knew exactly where she was. And it was amazing to me to watch her drive through the middle of storms and tornadoes. And the skies just parted right down I thought I knew what that road was. But the interstate that went straight from Birmingham into Mississippi. It was amazing. Jesus has authority even over the winds and the waves. Coming back from or going to Connecticut was a trip. We left here and went to Baltimore, and they said all the flights had been canceled. There was one flight out, and it could get us to Connecticut, and it was a flight to Orlando. So we left Baltimore. We went from here to Baltimore, left Baltimore, and went to Orlando. And we were waiting on that flight that was going to take us to Connecticut. And we waited and we waited. And I looked at the weather, and there was a weather front off of South Carolina and Georgia that extended out into the ocean that was tremendous. And they said it was terribly devastating. And also one over Atlanta. So, and then one over the Baltimore area. We had two big weather fronts to get through to get there. And I'm going, we must be going to go way out in the ocean and come back around. But I began to pray, Lord, you have authority over all things. You have authority over those storms. I plead in the name of Jesus because I, in the name of Jesus, can plead these things, don't you know? I plead, peace be still to these storms. Peace to the storms in South Carolina and Georgia. Peace be still to the storms in Baltimore. I don't know about the others, but these two, it kept getting later and later. And at 10 o'clock, they told us it was coming in at 1:30. By the time we finally left the next morning, I looked at the map and the storms had become peaceful. At least they had dissipated. So I said, oh, Lord, that's the way you were making the storms. You took a while. You didn't do it immediately, but you did it before I flew out. And I had to, which I ended up, we ended up getting to Connecticut at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, and by the way, from, you know how long it takes to go from Orlando to Connecticut? How long would y'all think? 2.5 hours. I'm sitting there going, That's a long ways in a short period of time, but we made it. Anyway, God had done what he promised, which was to still the storms, and he did, not in my timing, in his, because I'd rather been there than sitting in that place till 6 in the morning, or 4 in the morning. But I want you to know something. God has the power, the authority over all things. Fourth, we see the extent of his authority and rule of his sovereignty over Satan and all his demons. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Jesus has authority over every devil and demon and evil in this world, no matter where it is. He did then, he does now, and he does it today many times through you. Did you know you could take authority over Satan yourself in the name of Jesus? Jesus takes authority over a spirit, an evil spirit. One of the things I prayed for when I prayed for Justin, she said he's an angry young man, and I prayed. I said, Lord, take authority over this evil spirit that's overshadowed him and brought him depression and emotional pain, and deliver him. Evil can come to a Christian, but only to fulfill his purpose and beautiful plan for us. Sometimes we have things that come against us which make no sense and rob us of something that we feel like is wrong. But God, in his perfect will, would not let that happen unless there was a plan, unless there was his will. In the midst of it, though, he will protect us. Job 42:11. They comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Not even Satan in all his ugly designs fails to perform God's holy purposes. I shared the story about Reverend John Patton, how even those who came against him were fixated. I believe that there have been times in my life when evil has come against me and God has delivered me from that evil. I am convinced that if you're a Christian following the Lord, the evil forces will try to get at you. I believe there's no way that Satan is going to go out with a whimper. If you start to do things for the kingdom of God, let me ask you this. Have you ever done something? You might not have, but I have. Have you ever done something for the kingdom of God? You've done something that you know honors God, and when you do it, you go, oh, God, Satan's getting ready to swat me now, because I have really wore his kingdom out. I have. And I sort of grit my teeth and wait for the storms to hit. I know that he's going to carry me through. I have confidence in his authority. I have confidence in his ability. But I want you to know something. If I go into hell with a heavenly cause, there's going to be some ripples and some effects. But Satan has no authority over me, nor does he you. We see the extent of Jesus' authority rule in the oversight and governance of all the affairs of history. This is why John calls him King of all kings. Revelation 17:14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord and lords of the King of kings. And those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Then in Daniel chapter 2 and 4, He removes kings and sets up kings. The Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom he will. He does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Even those who have authority over us, up to the kings, the princes, the presidents, they have no authority that Jesus is not in control of. None. Zero. And the authorities that are over you that you might think are going to bash you or hurt you or demote you or fire you have no authority but in Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying is, if you go through something and your authority over you is oppressing you, Jesus will not let you go down. He has authority over all those things and those people. Louis Zamperini, I know you've heard me tell his story. And by the way, his movie comes out in October, Unbroken. The story is that this young man who was an Olympian and was a brilliant and great athlete was a castaway in the South Pacific in 1943. In the summer of 1943, his plane went down. And there in the ocean, he survived for 42 days in a raft. As he was starving and knew he did not have much time left, he finally looked up to God, which he was an atheist. He finally looked up to God and said, God, if you're there, save me, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Within a few hours, a pelican lit on his raft, and he had food. It sustained him till currents started moving him in another direction, opposite the direction he had been going. And the currents took him close to an island, and there he was picked up by a Japanese boat and taken to a Japanese internment camp. Transferred from that camp to another camp and to another camp, ending up in Okinawa, and eventually back near Japan. He was abused. He was hurt. And there were times when he cried up to God, I thought you said you would deliver me. I thought I prayed a prayer you would deliver me. Now look at me. And this particular man named the Bird was so evil that he abused Zamperini tremendously. He would cut him and he would make him stand for hours holding a boulder above his head. He would do different things. He even made a line of all his soldiers and he made him go through the line. And all of his own soldiers, if they were to stay alive, had to hit Zamperini. Zamperini later said, you know, I would have rather my own soldiers hit me, and I told them so, than the Japanese. During that particular time, though, he continued to ask if there was a God, why there must not be. He has not delivered him. But then he was set free in 1944 at the end of the war. He came home, and that was the end of the first movie. The second movie picks it up from there. What happened? Zamperini found a beautiful wife, and they got married. They were having a wonderful life. He had forgotten his promise to God because God let him go through that terrible time. But then he didn't believe in God anyway. Lewis began to drink because at night he would have these terrifying nightmares of the beatings that he took back in camps. And so he would drink at night to try to sleep through the night. He became an alcoholic. And his wife was ready to leave him. She, as a matter of fact, was leaving him. When she heard that there was a man who was preaching whose name was Billy Graham, she didn't know anything about him. Not many people did. He was preaching in 1949 in L.A., and she went to the revival, and when she went to the revival, she met Jesus. She accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She came home and began to talk to Lewis about coming to the crusade. He would make fun of it and say no, and then finally he decided he would go with her because she threatened to leave him. And she went with him, and they both went, sat near the back. And after the speaker began to speak, he stood up to walk out and literally got in the middle of the aisle to walk out while Billy Graham was speaking. And he realized he was on a crossroads. This is a crossroads. If I continue to go out, I'll walk into hell. If I turn around, I walk into God's light. And he remembered his promise that he had given God on that raft. And he walked to the front, he accepted Christ, he knelt down, and he was saved. Lewis was so radically changed that part of the process, God instructed him, and through some people, he was told he needed to go back to Japan to forgive the people who had hurt him. He said, I'm not going back to Japan. I hate that place. He said, no, you need to go back. Everything that he hated, he was going to have to do to know true deliverance in Christ. He went back to Japan. He went to where they had these men that had beaten him, and he told them openly through an interpreter, I forgive you all. I set you free. And then he came home. He's one of the great men of God, a servant of the Lord in his church. I want you to know something. God did exactly what he had prayed. He delivered him. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes God delivers us in ways we don't want to be delivered. But he does what he says, and he has authority over all things to do whatever he wants to do. And by the way, it's his ball game, not ours. I didn't want to spend 9 hours or 8.5 hours sitting in a waiting room at the airport. I didn't want to do that, but that was God's plan. Because I had prayed, deliver us from the storms. And so he said, okay, I'll deliver you from the storms. Have a seat and wait. This morning, my message is this. Do you need life? Do you need deliverance? Do you need joy? Do you need hope? Do you need a reason to carry on? Do you need a purpose? Do you need the fullness of a fulfilled life? Do you need assurance that you will live in eternity in heaven with the Lord forever? Then you need Jesus. You don't need religion. You don't even need to become a Baptist. You need Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, given yourself completely to Jesus, this is the morning to do that. Do not let this hour. This is like the line in the sand. Will you step over or will you walk away? Will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I was 22 years of age. I had worked in a church most of my life. I had seen people, been a part of people being baptized. And then Jesus in 1972 looked at me and said, but you, my friend, have never accepted Jesus. But Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do this in your name? Isn't that in the Bible somewhere? Like Matthew chapter 8? Many said unto me, did I not know you? Did I not do this? Did I not go to church? Did I not do this? But do you know me? Do you walk with Jesus? If you do, take authority that Jesus has given you. For whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Did you know you had that authority? In Jesus' name. Let us walk in the authority of Jesus. And for those that might need Jesus, I will be here at the front to accept and to pray with you to receive Jesus. As we